Hey, patrons and YouTube members, and welcome back to your exclusive weekly patron cast. This time, season 3, episode 28, and there are three things I want to talk about. The first one is being a content creator, and I just made a video about ads and how they're clearly not a sustainable business model for a lot of companies, and maybe even for content creators. So I just wanted to talk about what it could mean to just have a hobbyist-based internet, like if no one could make any money or at least not make a living from their content. The second one will be talking about preparing for my vacation, which is not easy. And the third one will be about Thunderbird 115, which I've been using as my daily driver since it released for email and calendar. Well, daily driver is a stupid thing for an email program, but I've been using it as my main email and calendar program since it released. And I have a few thoughts about what they did well and what is not fantastic yet. So let's get started with content creation and ad-based internet. So maybe you've watched this video of mine. I was just talking about how like Reddit, Twitter, even the moves by YouTube for blocking ads and stuff like that showed that basically the ad-based internet might not really be a sustainable way of producing tons and tons of content and having like free user accounts for everybody in the world and just counting on ads and personal data. So of course, we all know the problems with ad-based internet right now. There's a lot of ads everywhere that are making like the web experience pretty bad on mobile and on general web browsers, which is obviously pushing people to use an ad block or something at the DNS level, like a pie hole or something. Because, well, if you don't disable ads, a lot of websites are just completely unusable and you just cannot just use anything with all the ads that are clogging up everything, especially on smartphones, where some websites you just see like 10 pixels of content between the banners, the pop-ups, the newsletters, the cookie consent banners. It's just not good. And so, yeah, the recent moves by a lot of companies show that they're not really making money from ads. And we didn't really notice that because they were just raising a lot of money through venture capital and investors. But now that it's getting harder and harder to raise money, then these companies have to try and be profitable. And they're going all in on the ad-based model. They're trying to push subscriptions as well. And it's not going all that well. Twitter, for example, has apparently lost 50% of their ad revenue since Elon Musk took over and made a bunch of changes to the website. Reddit is clearly in trouble as well. They're getting rid of some benefits for their Reddit premium members. They're closing down the API and making it super high price. So it's basically like if there was no API, because I don't think most people will pay for that. Same for Twitter. YouTube is trying to go full ad block blocking route. They're also starting to send cease and desist letters to various third-party frontends like Nvidia's, and I think they hit another one recently as well. So yeah, it's YouTube is profitable, but not by a lot apparently, because if they were, they wouldn't send these kind of stuff. And yeah, it just shows that ad-based internet is weird. But as a content creator, for now, you don't really have another way. I don't know many content creators that can just make a living of donations. I know a few, gaming on Linux, for example. They make most of their money. They just started a YouTube channel, so now they have an ad-based component to their revenue. But basically, they've been working exclusively on their website through donations. There are no ads at all on the website. I think OMG Ubuntu also works well with donations and maybe not too much ads. And there are probably a bunch of YouTubers that just make a living off of Patreon and donations. I think Josh Strife Hayes makes a lot of money through donations as well, for example. But he probably also gets a lot of revenue from YouTube ads. And me personally, as a content creator, donations are like maybe 10%, 15% of my revenue or something like that. Maybe even 20 these days. But the rest is ads and sponsors. And once you deduce all the taxes and everything, you just have a relatively comfortable salary. But if I only had donations through Patreon, YouTube memberships, and the various donations through PayPal, which I get a lot of, which is really cool, well, I would not be able to do this as a day job. I would have to grab a normal job, which is not a problem. Some comments on my video about ads were saying, oh, you poor baby, you're gonna have to go get a real job. Imagine how hard this would be. I don't mind. I had a real job for 12 years. I don't care. If I have to go back doing a real job, I'll do that. It's not an issue at all. The video was just saying, you know what? I could not do content creation full time if I only had donations at the level that they are right now. And so this prompted a reflection. Like, what if no one could make a living from their content? Like, there are no ads, and only a few lucky people have enough donations that they can make a living off of what they write, record, or publish, or whatever. Well, this would just mean that the internet would go back to being mostly a hobbyist-based internet, which would have probably a few nice effects and a few bad effects as well. First, for the bad effects, you would get a lot less choice in terms of content. A lot of stuff would just die off, because if you can't make a living making videos, then making one video per day becomes pretty tricky, or at least at a high level of quality and editing. You could still make like virtual vlogs, videos, just showing your face on the webcam and showcasing an article. I'm thinking stuff like Brody Robertson. I love his content, but his videos probably don't take him 8 hours to make, because he's filming himself, talking about an article. He probably prepared a few notes for a script beforehand, but I would estimate maybe 2 to 3 hours to make a video. So every day, if you're really motivated, you can do it, but it's a lot of investment if you're not making a lot of money from it. It's not easy to maintain that day by day with a day job or being a student or something like that. I did that when I had a day job, when I started the channel. I made 2 to 3 videos per week, sometimes just one, but mostly 2 per week, and I was not making money from it. Like, a little bit when the channel started and it started growing and growing, but at the beginning I was just making this for free, and it was fun, and I liked it. And I would not have a problem going back to making content just for fun, but I would not be able to make 3 videos per week, that's for sure. Or at least not 3 videos like I'm making right now. They would be much simpler, much shorter, less scripted, less editing. They would be a lot more basic. And there would only be maybe 1 per week, maybe 2 per week. Probably I would just keep the Linux news video, because that teaches me a lot about Linux and I think it's still interesting for people. But the rest would probably disappear. Would that be bad? I don't know. Maybe the internet would be totally fine if I didn't make 3 videos per week. And same goes for a lot of content creators. If some people didn't make gaming videos once a day or every 2 days, would it be a big issue? I don't know. But what's for certain is that there would be a lot less content on the internet, a lot less articles, a lot less videos, and maybe it wouldn't be bad. Maybe it would be okay. In terms of positives, we would probably get rid of a lot of misinformation or just super clickbaity videos whose only purpose is to make money through ads. Like, you make a super clickbaity title about like aliens build the pyramids confirmed or whatever, and you get 1.5 million views because you're gonna be shared on all the complotist and weird spheres of the internet, and you're gonna make like, I don't know, maybe $1,000 from that video, maybe more. That's pretty decent. If you can whip them out using AI every day, then yes, sure, you're making a lot of money. But if you can't make any money from this content, you don't really have an incentive to make it unless you're absolutely certain that this is the truth and you want to share it. So this type of content would absolutely die down a lot. Clickbaity articles would just be reduced a lot. We would still get institutional or governmental propaganda and misinformation, because obviously this is not motivated by money, or not directly, it's motivated by ideology. So we would still get this, we would still get like probably weird far-right, like religious extremists, weird stuff like that, because they're ideological, they're not, or even just far-left, I mean, anything remotely political or ideological would still exist, because these people are not necessarily driven by money all the time. They just want to convert people to their way of thinking, and they would still make their content. But there would be a lot less, I think. And would it be a bad internet to live in? Like, where everything is just made as a hobby, where there's no financial incentives, where you don't have to warp your content or what you're talking about around an algorithm, what people want to watch, or how long people watch. You could just make everything you want, as long as you want, as short as you want, talking about anything you want. It wouldn't be terrible. It wouldn't be terrible. And honestly, I would, the more I think about it, yes, I would be sad to not be able to make a living making content and making videos, because Obviously, it's a dream job. Like, you work on what you want, you do exactly what you want at the time you want, there's no boss micromanaging you. There's the YouTube algorithm, of course, that's sort of micromanaging what you talk about and what you don't, but you're still pretty much free. And you would lose that if it wasn't my day job. I would lose that, but I would still have fun making a few things here and there, and it would be okay. And I think the general browsing experience on the internet would be a lot better if this happened. So I think it wouldn't be too bad, generally, for the web if the ad model died off completely and there was nothing replacing it for content creators. If everything, I don't know, was paywalled or if just no company could host a giant platform, then you would just host your own website and talk about exactly what you want. It wouldn't be too bad. I don't think it would be a bad thing for the internet. And generally, from the comments on the YouTube video I made, a lot of people seem to agree. There was a lot of debate about, do we really need that many videos, that many articles about the same topics? We would still get a lot of choice. We would just get a bit less, well, maybe a lot less, but it wouldn't be the end of the world. And quality would probably go up as well, because you're not as incentivized to conform to an algorithm to try and make sure that advertisers are liking what you make and they're happy to put their ads on your stuff and the video platform has to trust you and whatever. You could just do that on your own website. Discovery would be harder, discovering content. You would probably have to go on forums and discussion groups and whatever to know who to follow, the new stuff, and getting your updates there. But honestly, maybe it would just mean everyone goes back to RSS or something like that and just subscribes to the creators that they like there. And if they really like the content, they could donate something. But like, no one would be incentivized to just make stuff for people who donate. I don't think it would be a bad situation. And honestly, I would be very fine with that. I would just go back to having a good job. I would reminisce fondly about the days of being a content creator and having fun with that. And yeah, I would just move on and keep making the stuff that I like, less than today, but still a few videos here and there, maybe a few articles more. I don't know, it would still be fun. So let me know what you think. Would you be okay with a hobbyist-only internet where like no one is getting paid for what they're writing or recording or just making their podcast or whatever? Would you be fine with that? Or would you think? Do you think that it would hurt the quality and the fact that content goes more in-depth, and maybe we would get smaller projects, smaller stuff? I don't know. Let me know what you think about this. Now, still on the topic of creating content, we're going to talk about me preparing for my vacation, because as much as being a YouTuber is a wonderful job, the one major downside is that you can't really go on vacation and shut everything off. Well, you can, but you might be hurting your channel in the long run if you have nothing planned and you just disappear from the face of the earth for like 2 weeks or a month. It's tough. 1 week is probably fine, but two is not. And more than that, you don't know what could happen. YouTube could decide, okay, this guy has stopped publishing regularly. I'm gonna pause recommending his content or recommend it a lot less because, yeah, the schedule has been weird for the past 2 weeks. So let's not just recommend them because we don't know if they can be trusted. Or maybe YouTube is like, well, you know what? It's fine. He just went back and he just made 3 videos per week again as he did before. There's consistency. I like this. I'm pushing it. You don't know. And sometimes you can get a big, big drop in how much YouTube recommends your videos. Or sometimes you just don't see any effect. But what's for certain is that while you're not posting any videos, you're not making any money. You're making money from your back catalog of videos, but it's not a lot compared to just publishing new ones. So before I go on vacation, I always try to plan out some amount of videos that are already done and ready to be published during the holiday. And this time around, it's the 4 videos that the production agency is supposed to be making. The issue is I only have one, the first one, planned for this Tuesday right now. The second one, planned for this Thursday, I recorded everything, they have everything, but I haven't seen a first draft of yet, which is worrying. And the other two, for next week, they haven't even started on either. I have to record them today, because they finalized the script on Friday. My guess is that they're not going to be able to do those 2 videos in time. I would be very surprised if they manage it. And I will be left either editing these videos myself, or just pushing them back to August, which would kind of suck because, well, I'm going to lose a few sponsorships from that. Well, money from sponsors, and that's going to suck. And if this happens, I am definitely asking them for a refund of part of what I paid because they just did not honor the deal that we have. And that's just not right. So I am pretty much stressed by this because I don't know if they will manage to get the videos out in time. And so I also need to plan something, a contingency plan, to ensure that I can still publish something from my vacation and that I can maybe pick up the slack from where I'll be on vacation. So of course I had a plan to make the Linux news videos from my vacation because they're not the trickiest videos to make. They're like four and a half hours to make once a week. It's not too bad. You just like read every day, every single piece of news that comes up and you just write the small snippets. It's like 1 hour per day of looking at the news and writing the stuff that's interesting. And at the end of the week, you just compile this all, you smooth it out, you record the podcast. The day afterwards, you just check to make sure everything is okay. You prune the script a little bit so it fits into a video. You record the video, you edit it. It's not that hard to edit. It's okay. But it does mean that I have to bring a laptop with me and a relatively decent microphone. I'm thinking of taking a Blue Yeti with me. That's the podcast I'm using right now for the microphone, I'm using right now for the Patreon cast. I think it will be decent enough for the videos. It's what I started using for my videos in the first place anyway. So it should do the trick. And I'll record everything using my iPhone and I just like sync the audio from the microphone and the iPhone. It's okay. It's not a big issue. So I will probably bring my Slimbook Executive 16. It has an RTX 3050 Ti. It should be able to edit everything on the go. Not as well as my desktop, but it will be decent. Now, I'll be gone for 2 weeks, from the 23rd of July to the 6th of August. And I will probably do the Patreon cast still because they're fun to make. They never really feel like work. It's like when I wake up on Monday, I'm like, cool, let's work on the Patreon cast. It's a nice thing I have to do. I always like doing it. So I think I'll keep doing it as long as I have something to talk about. Of course, if there's nothing interesting, maybe I won't make them. We'll see. But they're always fun. So if I've got something to talk about, I'll make them. And if the agency doesn't manage to make the required videos, then maybe there just won't be a video for a week apart from the news. And that's that. It's not the end of the world. Maybe I will record something small, like maybe an opinion video or a small thing like the Red Hat video I did. I don't know. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. We'll see. But yeah, I'm pretty sure they won't manage to make all the videos that we planned. I would be very, very surprised. And even if they manage to deliver all the videos, this shows that they clearly are not the right partner. Because this is supposed to reduce stress and offload some work from me. And if it generates stress because I don't know if they're going to be able to deliver on time, then it's just not worth it. Like if I'm paying to add more stress, I would have finished those videos by now if I didn't have to wait for the agency to make them. So yeah, they're basically losing me time, not gaining me time. They're not saving me any time. So that's not great. We'll see at the end of the week where we stand, how fast they can move. But yeah, if they can handle it, well, maybe there just won't be videos for the last week of July. It's okay. I'll just lose a little bit of revenue from the sponsors and I'll make sure to tell them that I'm really not happy about how they handled it. But yeah, I'm just trying to let it go to see, you know what, we'll see what happens. If they can make it, great. If they can't make it, too bad. It's okay. And that's it, basically. We'll see. And if I really feel like, no, it's not okay to have a week without any videos apart from the Linux news, well, maybe I'll just record one opinion-based video, depending on what happens in the Linux world. We'll see. And just, yeah, who cares, basically? If YouTube doesn't like that, well, it won't like that. I mean, it will take a few months to get back up on track with the channel, but it's okay. It's not like I'm going to stress myself out during my vacation. I'll do my best this week to try and have as many things planned. And once I'm on holiday, I'm on holiday. I'm not going to look back to the videos and stress myself out. It's okay. What's done is done. Okay, and now I want to talk about Thunderbird 115, also called Supernova, which is the latest release of Thunderbird, completely redesigned, really great to use. And so I've been using it since they released it last week, and I really, really enjoy it. So I thought I would just give a little experience, feedback, whatever on it, in case you were on the fence of trying it out, or in case you just want to discuss this and tell me what you think about it. So first, I'm going to start with the caveats and the problems with it. There are no packages, at least for the distro I use currently. It's not packaged for Fedora yet. The Flatpak isn't up to date yet. So you do have to use their portable archive and run it manually. It's just a tar.gz that you download and you just run the executable. You can create your own shortcuts to add it to your app menu or dock or whatever else, but you have to do it manually. I hope they have the Flatpak up to date soon. Distros will take all the time they usually do. They never package like brand new releases with all the features like right away. They tend to wait a little bit or offer them on a separate channel to not completely replace the app their users know and love. But the Flatpak is now official. They took ownership. Thunderbird took ownership of that Flatpak. And it should definitely be there already, and it should probably have been there since launch, or at least in a beta channel or something, because, well, it's official, so it should have the latest release. Now, second thing I don't really like, it's still very much not a native-looking app. On GNOME, it doesn't look like a GNOME app. On KDE, it doesn't look like a KDE app. It's more like Firefox, which is not surprising. It uses the same underlying technologies. And so it won't look completely out of place on any desktop, but it also won't look like it's part of that desktop either. And third, to me at least, the defaults are still a bit off. For example, the email view still uses the list view, which kind of looks like a spreadsheet. It's very small lines for each email. It's pretty much illegible for everyone who's been using a webmail or a recent email app, like what comes as the default on macOS or on Windows, or even a mail app from a smartphone. People are used to bigger cards, easier to click, with a summary of the email in them, not small lines of text like in a spreadsheet. So this probably should have made the card view the default. Having the email underneath, the email preview, underneath the mail list, also isn't a good choice out of the box. Most displays nowadays, if not all, are widescreen, so you should use more horizontal space and less vertical space. So the preview pane should be on the right of the email list and not underneath it. And the default views are still a bit too cluttered for my taste. The two-day pane is visible by default in the calendar. The events for the next 7 days panel is also there on top of the calendar view. It's nothing you can't change. Of course, you can modify all of this. And I realize that the defaults I prefer are not the defaults everyone will want to use. But if we look at it this way, most people who download an email client probably have a simple email need and might not even need calendar and contacts related features. And Thunderbird is also shipped by default by a lot of distributions that are targeting beginners. And as such, these people will probably have simple needs as well. So I think it's easier for a power user to activate all the panels and modify the views that they need just once, and they'll keep their config afterwards. And I think it's easier for them to do that than it is for a beginner to disable all the panels they don't need to know that there are the options to disable all of this and to tinker with the interface to make it simple enough for their needs. Most beginners will just look at this, say, oh, that's too cluttered, it's still a mess, and they're not even going to look for anything that they can change. They're just going to run away. There's too many bells and whistles. A power user will know that they can add stuff they want or stuff they need, but a beginner might not even know that they can change anything. So you should have, I think, at least in my opinion, they should have an even simpler interface by default on a fresh install, and they should let power users enable everything they need on top of the base email and calendar experience. Now that said, if you know where to go to tailor the experience to your needs, then this new release is absolutely amazing. I switched the card view on for email. I moved the preview pane for the email to the right. I disabled the today panel. I removed the quick filters for emails because I don't really use them. And so my email experience on Thunderbird is now as simple as what I got on Geary, which was my previous email app. But it can also do a lot more stuff, like creating email folders, creating tags, tagging the email, or having an actually usable conversation view, which Geary doesn't really have. Well, it has a conversation view, but it's kind of bad. And as per the calendar and contacts, my needs for that are very basic, and Thunderbird can handle it without any issues. I wish it would grab the contacts and calendars that I set up in my GNOME online accounts, so I didn't have to add them again with an app password that I have to create on the web interface for Nextcloud on every computer. Not super easy, and, well, not hard either, but not fun. I would really rather that they just grab the credentials from the GNOME online accounts that I set up. I don't know if they can, if they have access to that, but if they do, it would be better. It's just another reminder that it's not super well integrated on Linux just yet. And it also took me some time to get used to the tabs. I wish I could disable tabs. I always open new mail in a new window anyways. And when I click on the calendar, I don't care about having the email tab. I just want the main view to switch to the calendar. And if I want to go back to email, I just click on email. I understand why it's there. I think a lot of Thunderbird users actually like the tabs. I don't. I wish there was an option to say, like, I don't want to use tabs. Just don't give me tabs. Because I often end up with a very cluttered interface and I have to close the tabs all the time. I'm not a big fan of it, but it's okay. It's not like it's a big issue. And I'm sure that once I get used to it, maybe I'll be more productive than I am right now. I also need to take a look at the extensions and the plugins to see if there's anything I want to make use of or that could simplify my workflow. That's a big advantage of Thunderbird over, for example, Geary. You do have a lot of plugins you can add to change the interface, to change what the app can do. I don't know in terms of compatibility how well plugins will work with the new version. I didn't check. I didn't use Thunderbird before, so I don't really have a good comparison point. And I also think I will give the feed reader a shot. For now, I use Newsflash, which is a GTK4 LibAdvita app for GNOME. But it's a bit buggy at times. It's slow to load feeds. So maybe I will like having everything in the same place and just use the RSS feed feature from Thunderbird. And I haven't encountered any bugs just yet. It feels stable and solid, and it's been a great experience. Obviously, I was not a Thunderbird user before, so I do not know if someone who was used to the older version will like the new one or not. I feel like you can replicate the old experience because you can customize the main toolbar to put every command you want in there. You can turn on the menu bar. You can display all the panels you want. I'm pretty sure most people that love the old Thunderbird will still like this one, but maybe there are things you can't do anymore. I don't really know. But as someone who could not use Thunderbird before, because it was just too confusing, it was too cluttered, too hard to parse for me, I can safely say that now it's worth a shot. It is really good. You will need to play around with the information density and with the view modes in the email to switch to card view, to change the sorting order, stuff like that, because I prefer personally having most recent mail on top, and by default, the most recent mail is at the bottom. Not sure why, because I'm pretty sure most webmails put the most recent mail on top as well. But it is super configurable, so you can make it work exactly like you want, like a super simple email app or like a complete personal communications powerhouse. I kind of like it as much as I liked the KDE Personal Information Management Suite, the Kontakt. Because you can either just use KMail alone in that suite, and with a bit of work and tweaking, you can make it super simple and basic, or you could use the whole Kontakt suite and get all the features you want in one place. And I feel Thunderbird is at the same point. You can remove the little sidebar. You can just have a very basic email experience if you just want an email client. But if you want a complete PIM suite, you can also do that. And you can configure every part of the app to look and feel like you want. So I really like it. I just hope that they can provide a flat pack soon so I can get updates alongside my system and also use the app in a sandbox, which I think is important for something that has my credentials for email, for Nextcloud, for stuff like that. I would much rather use it in a sandboxed packaging format than just open to the winds with everything I type being able to be grabbed on X11 on my desktop. But yeah, I'm pretty sure they'll do it soon, as soon as they can. And if you didn't like Thunderbird before, I would say give it a shot. Spend like 10 minutes looking at the options in the hamburger menu for information density, for the panels, changing the layouts. And in the email list menu next to the quick filters, switch to the card view or to the list view. And just get a feel for how you can tweak it. I think a lot of people who really did not like Thunderbird before will be able to make it work now and make it work really well. So yeah, I'm definitely going to stick with it. I really like where they're at right now. I would love for it to be more well integrated with GNOME, to look like GNOME or like KDE, to pick up the system theme. But you know what? Maybe there are some user Chrome CSS themes that I could add, just like I did on Firefox, to make it look like Advaita or like Breeze or whatever. It's probably doable as well. So I'll have a look at that in the future. But for now, for a first contact after a week, I can safely say it's great, and if you didn't like it before, you should give a shot to the new version. I think there's a lot to love here. So this will conclude this lengthy Patreon cast. If you have any remarks, questions, or ideas, or just if you want to talk about like a fully hobbyist-driven internet, if you want to talk about going on vacation and letting go of the stress and stuff like that, or about Thunderbird, hit me up in the comments. And as always, thank you all for listening to the Patreon cast. Thank you all for supporting the channel. It really means a lot. And, well, I guess you will hear me in the next one. If I make one during my vacation, I'm pretty sure I will, but who knows? Maybe there's nothing I will want to talk about. So, thank you all for listening, and see you in the next one.